This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Wednesday, December 7th, 2016. Coming up this hour,
Boeing responds to President-elect Donald Trump's call to cancel plans for a new Air Force One.
Credit Suisse lowers profit targets and steps up cost cuts as revenue continues to elude the Swiss bank.
A new report could shed light on the British pound's so-called flash crash on October 7th.
President-elect Trump has introduced General James Mad Dog Mattis as his next defense secretary, plus a deadly earthquake in Indonesia. I'm Michael Barr. More straight ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Fourth straight win for the Knicks. They beat the Heat in Miami. They'll host the NBA champion Cavs tonight. Islanders beat the Rangers in a win for the Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Korn Ferry. From executive search to leadership development, rewards, outsourcing, and more, Korn Ferry can help you realize the full potential of your people. Take your business where it wants to go. Up. Learn more at kornferry.com/up.
And it is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we are watching a headline here crossing the Bloomberg. J.P. Morgan Chase, HSBC Holdings, and Credit Agricole were fined a total of $521 million for rigging the Euribor benchmark as European Union antitrust regulators wrapped up a five-year investigation into the scandal. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. Now we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, they're little changed to higher. S&P E-mini futures up 1.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 23 and NASDAQ E-mini futures up 3. The DAX in Germany is up 1.4%. The CAC in Paris up 1%. FTSE 100 up 1.3%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.7%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 2.37%. Yield on the 2-year 1.11%. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.90 to $11.74.10. An ounce. The euro, $1.0717, and the yen, 113.96.
Boeing has responded to President-elect Donald Trump's comments on the cost of a new Air Force One. Boeing executives told Trump's transition team that costs could be lowered if the government agrees to reduce its requirements for the plane. George Ferguson is senior aerospace defense and airline analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence.
The cost is a function of all the stuff that's going inside, communications gear, countermeasures, supplied by Raytheon, Lockheed. There's a whole defense establishment putting stuff inside this airplane.
In a tweet yesterday, Mr. Trump claimed the cost for a new version of Air Force One was $4 billion, a figure that has prompted skepticism from some analysts. The cost of the Boeing model used for Air Force One usually averages about $225 million. However, that does not include all the extra equipment needed to outfit the plane for presidential use. In any event, Bloomberg Intelligence senior aerospace defense and airline analyst George Ferguson says a contract like this is relatively small for Boeing.
In any single year, Boeing is a $90 billion company. They make $60 billion from commercial airplanes. $2 billion really isn't much of their revenue. They're all about the commercial business.
Boeing's planes have been used to transport presidents since 1943.
Mark Mobius, executive chairman of Templeton Emerging Markets Group, is also commenting on the president-elect. Speaking to us at the Bloomberg Markets Most Influential Summit in Abu Dhabi, Mobius says Trump's policies will eventually lead to a weaker dollar.
I think the heavy spending that he's going to embark on, and spending not only in infrastructure but also defense, will result in people starting to think that maybe this dollar shouldn't be as strong as it is now. And we're going to probably see a weaker dollar. Also, you must remember that Trump's objective is to help American industry. What does that mean? It means they have to export. In order to export, you need a competitive dollar.
Templeton Emerging Markets Group Executive Chairman Mark Mobius went on to say he expects Trump to replace the Trans-Pacific Partnership with individual trade deals. Mobius also believes oil will climb to $60 a barrel next year.
Well, on that subject, we also heard from the United Arab Emirates Energy Minister at that Bloomberg Markets Most Influential Summit in Abu Dhabi. He spoke to us about last week's OPEC deal to cut output and expressed concern about some non-OPEC countries not participating in the arrangement.
We need as many countries as possible. This is not just an OPEC worry or a concern. I think this is a concern by all of the producers, the benefit to all of the producers. So what we need is to see more countries participating.
And the energy minister for the United Arab Emirates went on to say he believes the oil market will recover if OPEC producers stick to their agreement to cut 1.8 million barrels per day. Checking oil right now, West Texas Intermediate is up 0.3% to $51.09 a barrel. Brent crude is higher by 0.25% to $54.07.
The trading day is underway in Europe. Let's get a roundup of some of the top stories there with Bloomberg's Neera Chahich live in our London bureau. Good morning, Neera.
Good morning, Bob, Karen. Well, just to give you a bit of detail on that headline you broke at the top of the hour with JP Morgan, HSBC and Crédit Agricole being fined in the Euribor case. HSBC has been fined 33.6 million euros by the EU and Crédit Agricole has been fined 114.7 million euros by the EU. And neither of the share prices reacting much, though. In fact, Crédit Agricole up more than 1% and HSBC maintaining its gains up 2.7%. In other news in the financial sector, we, of course, had Credit Suisse's strategy statement and media call earlier. We've seen the shares jump as much as 7.8%, hitting the highest since April after the bank said it was stepping up cost reductions but won't specify job cuts. It also cut its profit goals for some trading and asset management businesses. And elsewhere in corporate news, Shell and Total, according to an oil ministry official, will sign initial agreements today to develop oil and gas fields in Iran. Media officers at Total and Shell, we haven't had comment from them, but we did get that news from the oil ministry official. We also had economic data. UK manufacturing output unexpectedly falling the most in 8 months in October. German industrial production rising less than analysts forecast in October. Neera Chahich, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Neera. A report from the Financial Times may shed light on the October 7th sudden 6% plunge in the pound. The paper says a UK investigation into Sterling's so-called flash crash is focusing on Citigroup's Japanese unit. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street, a frantic rescue effort after that Indonesian earthquake. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Indonesia's National Disaster Agency says the death toll could rise following today's 6.5 magnitude earthquake in Aceh province. At least 97 people were killed. Emergency officials believe people are still trapped in the debris of collapsed buildings. President-elect Donald Trump introduced his nominee for defense secretary at a thank you rally in Fayetteville, North Carolina yesterday. Trump says Marine General James Mattis is one of the most effective generals that we've had in many, many decades.
Jim is a Marine Corps four-star general, the former commander of U.S. Central Command and NATO's Supreme Allied Commander.
Trump also said from now on, it's going to be America first. In short, we seek peace through strength. President-elect Trump has offered the post of U.S. Ambassador to China to Iowa Governor Terry Branstad, a longtime friend of Chinese President Xi Jinping. That's according to three people close to the matter. In China, the Communist Party's flagship newspaper is urging Chinese leaders to keep their cool when it comes to President-elect Trump. Bloomberg Daybreak anchor Brian Curtis reports from Hong Kong.
A commentary in the People's Daily urges China's leaders to play the adult if Trump continues to stir things up. Call it strategic composure. The commentary says China should stay calm in the face of what it calls waves of criticism after Trump's call with Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen. It said some Chinese would think retaliation, that otherwise people might think China is a soft persimmon, easy to pinch. But it says no. China doesn't throw tantrums for temporary gratification. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Lawmakers in Ohio's Republican-controlled state house have voted to approve a so-called heartbeat bill that would ban abortions once a fetal heartbeat can be detected. The measure has also cleared the state Senate and now heads to Governor John Kasich's desk. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:09 on Wall Street and with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Just 2 years ago, the Knicks only won 17 games all season. They're already up to 12. They won their fourth in a row, 114-103 in Miami, a 61-point second half, six Knicks in double figures, led by Carmelo Anthony's 35 points.
Maturity, we find a ways to win basketball games. We come together as a team. We're figuring out who we are as a team, our identity. And I think we're a much different team than we were early in the season.
Carmelo moved into 10th place on the all-time Knicks scoring list. The win streaks come versus sub-500 teams tonight at the Garden. It's the Knicks and LeBron James and the NBA champion Cavs. First Ranger-Islander game since the first game of the season. Isles never trailed. They won 4-2 at Brooklyn. Yaroslav Halak, number one star, with 36 saves.
Well, I think it was one of those emotional games for our group. I think we came out really good, and then we just got in a little bit of a penalty problem. And, I think penalty killing was outstanding. Even at the end, great blocks for everybody, and everybody was just on the same page.
Rangers went 0-for-6 on the power play, including a failed 4-minute advantage in Newark. Devils beat Vancouver 3-2. College hoops with the Pearl Harbor Invitational. Seton Hall beat Hawaii 68-57. Princeton beaten by Cal 62-51. Yankees general manager Brian Cashman says the Red Sox are now baseball's version of the Warriors of the NBA. The rich getting richer already with David Price and Cy Young winner Rick Porcello in the rotation. Boston swung a trade with the White Sox to land Chris Sale. The world champion Cubs are close to acquiring Wade Davis from Kansas City. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. Well, a $107 million deposit will be due by next Tuesday, but the Chinese investment group seeking to buy the AC Milan soccer team is getting more time to seal the deal. Former Italian Premier Silvio Berlusconi, who owns the team, granted the group a 3-month delay after it failed to secure authorization for the deal from local authorities. That's according to people familiar with the matter. S&P E-mini futures currently up a single point. 10-year Treasury prices up 4/32. The yield at 2.3744%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA who's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more.
Mobile business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moskow. This update's brought to you by Hartford Funds. Hartford Funds, their benchmark is the investor. Stocks are climbing, boosting by a rally in financial shares amid optimism that the European Central Bank will this week commit to prolonging its bond buying program. Crude in the yen extending losses while Australia's dollar fell after a report showed the economy shrank by the most since 2008. Crude has since turned around, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures this morning are a little changed to higher. S&P E-mini futures up 2 points. Dow E-mini futures up 27. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 4. The DAX in Germany is up 1.5%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield 2.37%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 20 cents to $51.13 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.3% or $3.30 to $1,173.40 an ounce. The euro, $1.0721. The yen, 114.03. And the Aussie dollar is now at 0.7451. Today we get the weekly report on mortgage applications out at 7 o'clock Wall Street time. At 10, it's the JOLTS jobs report, and then it's 3 consumer credit. Brown Foreman and H&R Block are among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Karen. The Army chief in Indonesia's Aceh province says the death toll in today's earthquake has jumped to 97 as rescuers pull more bodies from the rubble. 4 people were pulled from the debris alive. The strength of the quake was measured at a magnitude 6.5. It was 75 years ago today that became a date which will live in infamy. Japanese warplanes attacked Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, killing more than 2,400 Americans. In sports in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Heat 114-103. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Islanders skated past the Rangers 4-2. The Devils were winners. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob, Karen?
Michael, thanks very much. Tomorrow's the day for the European Central Bank. Will it live down to expectations? At this point, the markets are dovish about this week's monetary policy announcement. What do Mr. Draghi and company need to do this time to keep investors satisfied? Let's talk to Valentin Marinov, UK-based head of G10 FX Research for Crédit Agricole, on the line with us now from London. Good morning and welcome. What are you expecting the ECB to do, and what's the threshold? What do they need to do?
Good morning. Our expectation is that the ECB will extend its asset purchase program by 6 months. And to achieve that, it will adjust some of the parameters of its existing program. In particular, we think that they'll be buying more non-collective action bonds, or indeed even collective action bonds, effectively extend the limits they have there. I think key question and by implication key uncertainty for the market is whether they're going to suspend the so-called deposit rate floor of minus 40 basis points as they're trying really to extend really the amount of assets available for purchases. I think that one risk now going into the meeting tomorrow and potentially central driver of the euro price action tomorrow will be that they won't suspend the floor. That is, the president will certainly stick with the additional changes, different parameters of the program, but will not suspend the floor as such. And if you look back at the previous meetings where we had really any tinkering with the floor or indeed any indication of that, that has proven to be the key driver of the euro.
All they need to do is just sort of tweak the policy a bit?
Well, that'll be our expectation, and if anything, in that we do not think that they'll be able to exceed the already, as you've mentioned, fairly dovish market expectations. From that point of view, I think that a outcome which meets or indeed falls short of the market expectations could be seen as supportive for the euro tomorrow.
Were you at all surprised by the relative market calmness after the Italian referendum?
I guess you could explain that by the fact that a no vote has been expected. If anything, however, more risks could lie ahead for the euro on the political So presumably the story is not over yet. I guess what could be said more near term is that the policymakers from the ECB tomorrow will find that presumed market calm as encouraging. So effectively they could really focus on the job at hand, which is really generating inflation in the Eurozone, rather than having to deal again with sovereign debt, with another sovereign debt crisis. So from that point of view, I guess the outcome of the referendum and the market reaction could be seen on the whole as supportive for the single currency.
And where does all of this leave the U.S. dollar?
Well, the dollar has rallied already quite a bit. We are up more than 3% since the Trump victory on a trade-weighted basis. If anything, our expectation is for further gains ahead. One way to quantify that is really to see how much further can Fed rate expectations can correct to the upside from here. And if you assume that the markets will ultimately start betting on a confirmation of the Fed's dot plot, that is rate expectations, so 2-year rate for the dollar moving up by about half a percent, 40 basis points. This will give us about 3.5% further upside for the dollar. That is a more medium-term prospect. If anything, we believe that those gains will manifest themselves predominantly against commodity risk-correlated currencies, as we believe that any bet on further Fed tightening and indeed further dollar rally will translate into tighter global financial conditions. And the global growth outlook may not be sufficiently robust to take that tightening. So we believe that the dollar could do well, but mainly, in the G10 space, that will be really all the Kiwi or potentially even the Canadian dollar that may have to bear the brunt of any upside correction in the dollar from here.
We have just about 20 seconds left here. Earlier, we reported that Mark Mobius was expecting Donald Trump's policies to eventually lead to a weaker dollar. Would you see that possibly happening?
The jury is still out, but from what I can tell, my recent meetings with clients, it seems that most clients almost universally expect Donald Trump to be positive for the dollar, and that view may not change anytime soon.
Valentin Marinov is Credit Agricole head of G10 FX Research. We appreciate your insights this morning. A forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures up a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. Dow E-mini is higher by 26 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures up by 4 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is 1.3% higher. The CAC in Paris, 1% higher. The DAX in Frankfurt up by 1.5%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Investing in local communities, economies, and a sustainable future. That's the power of global connections. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated. Member SIPC.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Again, we had breaking news this morning. J.P. Morgan, HSBC, and Credit Agricole have been fined a total of $521 million for rigging the Euribor benchmark. The news comes as European Union antitrust regulators wrap up a five-year investigation into the scandal.
Credit Suisse is stepping up cost-cutting efforts after lowering profit targets. The Swiss bank is pledging to reduce costs by another $1 billion amid a slump in asset management and investment banking. Shares of Credit Suisse up 7.8% in Zurich.
Iran is about to sign its first European oil deal since sanctions were eased earlier this year. An Iranian oil official says Royal Dutch Shell and Francis Total will agree to develop oil and gas fields in the country. Checking oil now, West Texas Intermediate up 0.2% or 9 cents to $51.01 a barrel, while Brent is up 0.2% or 10 cents to $54.04.
Stocks in Asia gained in trading today, with the financial sector leading the gains. Bloomberg's Juliet Saleh reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
The regional index posted gains for a second consecutive session, while Japan's Topix rose 0.9% as the yen weakened past 114 to the dollar during Asian trade. Australia's market also posted gains of close to 1%, despite disappointing data showing the country's economy contracted by 0.5% in the third quarter. Elsewhere, HSBC shares rallied in Hong Kong to a 16-month high, pushing the Hang Seng to a one-week high, and the Shanghai Composite gained 0.7%, despite starting the session in the red. Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. Goldman Sachs' former top man in China says investors in the world's second largest economy are hitting the pause button on U.S. deals. Fred Hu, whose investment firm Primavera Capital owns stakes in Alibaba and Yum China, says investors are taking a wait-and-see approach on M&A activity until President-elect Trump clarifies his policies. Chinese firms have announced a record $239 billion of foreign acquisitions so far this year.
While some Chinese firms are showing caution, at least one may be poised to increase its American footprint. Taiwan-based Foxconn, the biggest assembler of Apple devices, says it's in preliminary discussions to make an investment that would expand the company's U.S. operations.
S&P E-mini futures up a point. Dow E-mini futures up 26. NASDAQ E-mini futures are up 3. And COMEX gold is up 0.25% or $3.10. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. The search for earthquake survivors goes on in Indonesia. Let's bring in Michael Barr now with the very latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. Several thousand rescuers are being sent to Indonesia's Aceh province. A magnitude 6.5 earthquake struck there early today. Disaster officials put the death toll at 97, but fear it could become higher as rescue teams search the rubble of collapsed buildings. President-elect Donald Trump introduced his choice to be the next defense secretary yesterday, decorated Marine General James Mattis. Trump, during a thank you tour stop in Fayetteville, North Carolina, called Mattis a popular choice. Mattis thanked the president-elect.
I'm grateful for the opportunity to return to our troops, their families, the civilians of the Department of Defense, because I know how committed they are and devoted they are to the defense of our country, the defense of our Constitution.
Trump also used last night's rally near Fort Bragg to pledge to rebuild the U.S. military and renew the fight against terrorism. Vice President Joe Biden refused to definitively rule out a 2020 bid for the White House. Biden made an appearance last night on CBS's The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Never say never. You don't know what's going to happen. I mean, hell, Donald Trump's going to be 74. I'll be 77 in better shape. I mean, what the hell?
South Korea's opposition plans to impeach President Park Geun-hye on Friday. Bloomberg's Seoul bureau chief, Peter Pei, reports even members of Park's own party plan to vote against her.
Barring any last-minute maneuvering, it appears that the opposition party does have enough votes to impeach the president. The president apparently told the floor leader she was willing to accept whatever the results were. So it almost seems both opposition and the ruling party are conceding that an impeachment vote is likely to be approved.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel has backed a ban on burkas in a bid to win over right-wing members of her CDU party. Bloomberg's Patrick Donahue reports from Essen, Germany.
German Chancellor Angela Merkel sided with the right wing of her Christian Democratic Union party, calling for a ban on full-face veils and saying she'll protect Germany against future waves of refugees. CDU delegates erupted in applause and cheers after Merkel gave her strongest backing yet. Patrick Donahue, Bloomberg Daybreak, Essen, Germany.
Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 5:35 on Wall Street, and with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. It should be lively at the Garden tonight. Knicks going for a fifth win in a row, a true test to see just how much they've improved. Into town comes LeBron James and the NBA champion Cavs, who just ended a three-game losing streak. Knicks won last night in Miami, 114-103, 35 points for Carmelo Anthony. He liked the Knicks' offensive rebounding.
When the shot not falling, you got to find other ways to get it done. And we did that. We attacked the offensive glass tonight. Our bigs did a phenomenal inside, keeping the ball alive on the offensive end on the rim. A lot of credit goes to our bigs for, you know, battling Whiteside in there and just, you know, taking care of the paint tonight.
12 offensive boards from the centers, Joakim Noah and Kyle O'Quinn. Melo moved into 10th place in all-time Knicks scoring. In Brooklyn, the Islanders with two goals in the first period went on to beat the Rangers 4-2. Blue Shirts still without back-to-back victories since mid-November. In Newark, Devils got second period goals from Kyle Palmieri. First of the year for Ben Lovejoy. Devils beat Vancouver 3-2. Local college hoops, Seton Hall won at Hawaii. Manhattan lost double overtime to Morgan State. Rutgers now 8-1, a route of Central Connecticut. Monmouth beat Wagner. Ace pitcher Chris Sale, who got suspended last summer for cutting up the White Sox throwback uniforms they were about to wear, got traded by the White Sox to the Red Sox, where the general manager is Dave Dombrowski.
For us, it just came down to, we thought at this point that this gave us a really significant chance to win. And you know, you can never can tell what happens if you can, first of all, make it to the postseason. But secondly, if you get there, do you progress from there? We saw last year we did not. But we think it gives us the best chance to do it, and it's not just for a one-year type of deal.
Sale joining the Boston rotation that already had David Price and Cy Young winner Rick Porcello. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob.
Thank you very much, John. Now 5:37 on Wall Street. Time for your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. And we check in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Hi, Bob. If Time, Inc. were to be bought and broken up, publisher Hearst would be interested in buying some of its magazines. The New York Post reports people familiar with the matter say Hearst could be looking at the titles Real Simple, In Style, and Cooking Light. They also note that there have been high-level discussions at Hearst, but no approach to Time yet. The antitrust division of the U.S. Justice Department's investigating whether ad agencies manipulated bids for TV production contracts. According to people familiar with the matter, the company steered the business to their in-house studios by convincing independent contractors to inflate their bids. New Jersey will get more time and federal dollars to complete the dredging of water channels clogged with sand and silt by Superstorm Sandy. The Federal Emergency Management Agency originally set next October as the deadline, but the state appealed and has won an extension to December 2024. That's your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
And thanks very much. Bloomberg's Yusuf Gamal Eldin is in Abu Dhabi for the Bloomberg Markets Most Influential Summit, where he sat down with Mark Mobius, executive chairman of Templeton Emerging Markets Group, to discuss the recent referendum vote in Italy and President-elect Donald Trump's stimulus plan.
First of all, I think in the case of Italy, there, of course, going to have to be big reforms. People are very, very unhappy about what's happened in the banking system. Thousands of people have lost their life savings, and so it's a pretty dire situation. And they're going to demand change, and you've seen that already in the results of the election. But what's going to happen Eurowide is there's going to be a big rethinking in Brussels about how interventionist Europe should be, the European Commission should be. They're going to have to lighten up on their interference in national kinds of policies.
Yeah.
And that is also tied in with the Brexit situation. I think the vote in the UK was a signal to the rest of Europe that things have to change.
You have been quite positive on the Donald Trump victory. You're saying he's down to earth. He's he's going to bring the American economy back on its feet. Doesn't that imply a stronger dollar, even if he goes on a fiscal spending spree? I mean, how is he going to weaken a dollar? I mean, if you look, we're at the record highs for the Bloomberg dollar index.
Yeah. I think, yes, in the short term, the dollar has been getting stronger. But in the longer term, say medium to longer term, I think the heavy spending that he's going to embark on, and spending not only in infrastructure but also defense, will result in people starting to think that maybe this dollar shouldn't be as strong as it is now. And we're going to probably see a weaker dollar.
That is Templeton Emerging Markets Group Executive Chairman Mark Mobius, speaking to Bloomberg's Yusuf Gamal Eldin from the Bloomberg Markets Most Influential Summit today in Abu Dhabi. S&P E-mini futures up a single point, less than a tenth of 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. And your Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow mobility and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks in Europe are climbing, boosted by a rally in financial shares amid optimism that the European Central Bank will this week commit to prolonging its bond buying program. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures are little changed to higher. S&P E-mini futures up a point, Dow E-mini futures up 24, NASDAQ E-mini futures up 3, the DAX in Germany is up 1.5%, 10-year Treasury up 3/32, the yield 2.37%, NYMEX crude oil up less than a tenth of a percent, now up 4 cents to $50.96 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.20 to $11.73.30 an ounce. The euro $1.0719, the yen 114.07. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a strong earthquake has rocked Indonesia's Aceh province. The quake killed about 100 people and sparked a frantic rescue effort in the rubble of dozens of collapsed and damaged buildings. The chief of the army in Aceh province says 4 people were pulled from the rubble alive. A new study says the Republicans' plan to repeal President Barack Obama's health care law risks making nearly 30 million people uninsured. Republicans say that won't happen because they are working on replacement legislation. Today's study was released by the nonpartisan Urban Institute. In sports, in the NBA, the Knicks beat the Heat. The Wizards lost. In the NHL, the Islanders skated past the Rangers. The Devils were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Michael, thank you very much. And it is now time for the Bloomberg ETF Report, brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. What makes revenue so smart? Find out at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. And here is Catherine Cowdery.
The great cost migration continues as ETF investors favor the cheapest funds. Among the top 20 ETFs by inflows, the average fee this year is 12 basis points. At the second annual ETFs in Depth conference at Bloomberg, Jim Rowley, senior investment strategist at Vanguard Group, said high cost management is dead, but active management is not. Bloomberg intelligence analyst Eric Balchunas explains.
What he means by that is that if you look at where the flows are going,
active isn't always seeing outflows. There are active mutual funds from the likes of Vanguard, DFA. There's some other examples where they're taking in money, even in this sort of trend away from it. But the common thread they have is they're cheap.
Beltunas says investors are paying more attention to how much active managers and hedge funds charge.
It's becoming harder and harder to charge for active at the rates, you know, 1% for a mutual fund or a hedge fund, 2 and 20. Those numbers are under severe pressure.
Beltunas says the fee war among ETF issuers could continue next year and spread to categories such as smart beta, active, and alternatives. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
Catherine, thanks very much. And now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial markets and corporate news. And we're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Good morning. Our leadoff topic today is a Brexit banking tax break that no one wants to talk about. So, of course, we are going to talk about it.
Yeah, that's right. We are indeed going to talk about it. So what we're looking at is the amount that the City of London Corporation, which is the capital's main financial district's local government, has paid in tax during the most recent fiscal year. That's $91 billion. And the sector employs more than 1 million people, or a little more than 3% of the total UK's workforce. So that's not a small amount. And what is interesting here is that the city, as the district is called, is not an impartial observer to the Brexit debate. So it's got this unique governmental position because it also lobbies on behalf of financial services. And so its role in the UK economy, not to mention the London economy, means that it's going to press for favorable tax deals as the Brexit, as the shape of Brexit starts to get negotiated. But the thing is, what we've uncovered is that there's one tax break that we're probably not going to hear that much about. I mean, certainly the industry is under no small amount of pressure. It's, you know, it's had its own share of profit issues. It's had its own share of employment losses. And what would really help matters would be if there would be a bit of a relaxation in employment taxes, which contribute a much greater share of the levies that financial service firms have to pay relative to previous years. Corporation tax, for example, has gone way down. The employment levies have gone up. Bank levies, special bank levies in the wake of the financial crisis has gone up. But cutting these employment taxes would really help matters, and it would be a step towards keeping firms in London. But when average incomes are being squeezed elsewhere in the country, it's kind of hard to see how lobbyists are going to go for that in public. So it's going to be a very nice piece of help that nobody's going to really talk very much about.
Okay, and let's shift to SoftBank, basking under the Trump Twitter spotlight. But can this pledge really be real?
Yeah, so this is the $50 billion investment that SoftBank's director said will be invested in the U.S., part of a plan to create 50,000 jobs. And the bad news from Gadfly today is that that ain't happening. If you just look at the amount of cash that SoftBank has on hand versus the amount that's going to be pledged, the line that we've got is that for Masa Son, to pony up the money to meet this end of the investment would put the company's credit rating in jeopardy. I mean, it's going to come through this something called the SoftBank Vision Fund, which is a huge investment pool to which SoftBank contributes. But even in just looking at SoftBank's share of that, it looks like it's going to be a stretch. So then you're left with the question, well, what's behind this request? And so one possibility or maybe that the reason why that Sun made this pledge was to really help with this drive to help Sprint, which SoftBank owns, take over T-Mobile. So it's a bit of a flyer there. But for now, what the line is from Gadfly is let's not be looking for that $50 billion figure anytime in to be invested in UC startup, U.S. startups in our lifetime, much less during a four-year Trump term.
Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Thanks very much. And you can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing G-A-D-F go on the Bloomberg.
Now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Greg Storr discuss a Supreme Court decision which upheld a California insider trading conviction, making it easier for prosecutors to bring cases against Wall Street. They speak with Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University Law School, and Robert Hoggett, a professor at Cornell University.
Peter, why don't we just start? Just give us the facts of this case. This is not one of those big Wall Street cases that everyone has been talking about so much.
No, I mean, this case came out of California. You had one brother in the case worked as an investment banker doing healthcare deals, and he told his brother, who he was very close to, and the government showed that at trial, he gave his brother information about impending deals, essentially to help his brother out. Now, one brother was going to get married, and his new wife's brother was the defendant in this case, Mr. Salmon, and Mr. Salmon got the information and then traded on it, knowing that it came from the brother. And so the core issue in the case was, did the one brother have to give any tangible benefit, something almost pecuniary, to the other brother, or was the warm and fuzzy feeling that a relative gets when giving a gift to another relative, was that enough to establish insider trading? And the court said the warm and fuzzy feeling can be enough.
Bob, so did the Supreme Court basically go back to its own decision in 1983 in Dirks to make this ruling, not really changing the law?
That's right. Yeah, it definitely did. When you had Peter and I on before, on the day that the oral arguments were held this autumn, we both noted that really this law was settled long ago by the Dirks decision, and there wasn't any appreciable distinction, it seems to us, between the facts of this case and those of Dirks. Justice Alito actually said, just quite directly, that Dirks itself suffices to settle this case.
And that's Robert Hockett, a professor at Cornell University, and Peter Henning, a professor at Wayne State University Law School, speaking with Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Greg Stoor. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And among the top stories we're following on Bloomberg Law, times have been tough for the city of San Bernardino, California, and a bankruptcy judge will sign off on a debt adjustment plan for the city. She says everyone involved will take some kind of hit. San Bernardino bondholders will get 40% of what they're owed, and city employees must pay more toward their own pensions.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
Driverless trucks could be the solution to driver shortages in the trucking industry, but not right away. American Trucking Association's president and CEO Chris Spear told a House committee the industry currently wants the developments to offer drivers assistance, not replace them. Of special interest is technology to maintain safe distances between trucks. Pharmacies that waive cost sharing for financially needy Medicare Part D patients will be protected under a new rule. They will be covered by several new anti-kickback safe harbors from the Department of Health and Human Services. Those define and protect payment or business practices that could potentially violate the statute. America's creative industries, including books, movies, and music, make up $1.2 trillion of the national economy and employ 5.5 million people. A report by the International Intellectual Property Alliance finds the industries represent nearly 6.9% of the economy.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA Report. For more on these and other stories, visit bna.com.